Hi guys, remember when I had a podcast that was consistent? Remember when I used to post on here? Oh my god, I'm so sorry. I've missed you guys. You know, I've been busy. I've been a bit busy. I've been doing some big girl stuff, some grown up shit. And now I feel like I'm a bit more grounded. Although I can't promise consistency, I can promise existence. You know, I can pull up like thrice a month, four times, maybe once a week, you know. But that's also if I remember, if I'm in the mood, if I'm, you know, I have to be psyched for this. But I remember the times when I come on here and I just cry and you guys are just like, it's okay, you can just talk. You guys are so compassionate with me. But I'm growing up, shit, I'm so old. I didn't even post a birthday episode. That's just how crazy life has been. But I've been doing my own stuff, just getting on my Zoom, trying to... that yawn was so aggressive. But that's just been me. You know, I've just been trying to do some adult shit now and then. Ugh, it's exhausting. Trust me, you'd rather stay a child. Just remain where you are. If you're a baby, stay right where you are. Actually, stay right where you are. Now, what did I even want to talk about? I was just giving you guys a life update. I had the best, most emotional birthday ever. But that's just how my birthdays go. My mom makes all my birthdays so emotional because everyone who attends has to give a little speech and be like, yeah, tell Nyambu what you like about her. And everyone just tells me what they love about me. And it just ends up being just all about me. My mom likes making things about me. She used to be a teacher and she'd just be telling her students everything about me. Then she'd come home, tell her friends everything about me. My mom is obsessed with me. And you know, I'm not complaining. I'm actually in love with her. So I talk about her just as much. You know, I love my mother. She's the best thing ever. So on my birthday, people came bearing gifts. I got so much money from my family. My best friend attended, helped my mom plan for the party. And my boyfriend took me out and we had a nice little expensive dinner, and he ate a blue cheeseburger which tasted like ngoe jakauka vizuri, but that's besides the point. And what did I have? I had steak and fries because I'm basic and I'm not about to order beef cheeks, which were also on the menu. I found that so crazy. Why are you selling beef booty? Damn. And then that was also like ostrich meat. And that menu was just so bizarre to me. I've never been to a restaurant that expensive, actually. Oh, wait. I think I have. Never mind. I've traveled the world and in high school a lot, mostly. And the packages we'd pay for really expensive hotels. So we'd eat at luxury hotels. But that was a long time ago. As a grown-up, I don't think I've spent my money on an expensive hotel like that, you know? But I could say I've gone to a regular shmegula hotel, a restaurant, and I've had a meal and maybe a couple cocktails, and I ended up paying like an arm and a leg. Oh, shit! Actually, I'm lying. Everything I've said... I'm lying. I took myself out on my birthday for my 21st and I just went to a luxury hotel and spent like 15 G's on food and alcohol by myself. Can you imagine that? That's so crazy. But it was my birthday and I'm gonna do everything I can in my power to have a good birthday. Birthdays are so special to me, especially my own, knowing that I grew up celebrating them and my mom always made them so special, and that's just a tradition I'd like to carry on. Also, my dad makes Christmas so special for us, so that's also a tradition I'd love to carry on with my family if I do ever get one. Oh god, I just love holidays like that, and I understand that there are people who don't get to experience that, and that's just so sad because it's your birthday. It's a celebration of your presence in the world. Like, it's the one day we get to celebrate your contribution to earth, especially if it involves breathing and being alive. that's the most beautiful gift ever. And just having to celebrate that brings so much joy to me and my heart, man. Gosh, my heart was so full and I was just so happy. And my short little white dress and my denim jacket and my money from my relatives and my gifts and the cake, which I don't like cake. But every year my mom gets me a birthday cake written "Happy Birthday, Gladys." But this year I'm the one who ordered it. But she paid for it. But I ordered it. So I told them to just write "Happy Birthday, Nyambura." And I broke a 23-year-old tradition on my 24th birthday. Turning 24 is just so insane. Anyway, I wanted to talk about like maybe 24 or just a couple of things that I've learned growing up in my 24 years. And one is self-love. I remember the first time when I got told that I didn't love myself. It was in my first year of uni and the first year of uni before I dropped out of that uni and started another first year of uni. I was so depressed because I was like, I'm doing a course that I don't like. My creative outlet has been so suppressed. I feel basically like I'm failing in life and that there's no future, or that the future is so far off what I'd imagined that it's giving me anxiety every day. I wake up every day not knowing how my life is going to go, and that is freaking me out. So I got into a little depressive episode, and one day I fell. Like maybe on a Sunday, I fell on my butt, but then I sat on my hand because I was trying to prevent myself from falling. And I just sat on my hand, so my wrist got fucked up. And the next morning, I went to school. I didn't feel that much pain when I fell. But then the next day, when I was in class, the pain on my wrist was unbearable. And if you've hurt your leg, you know, or any bone, you know, when it becomes cold, that shit starts to hurt like a bitch. Damn. So my wrist was in so much pain and I sat on it the previous day. So the next day it was swollen. I couldn't write. I was in so much pain. So I went to the sanatorium down by the school. It's called a dispensary, actually. Sanatorium is the one we had in high school. Yeah, but the school clinic, and the doctor was like, yeah, Wagwan, what's going on with your palm, with your hand? He checked it out. And then when he was about done, he was like, and you look so sad. Bro, I literally broke down. I broke down. I was so sad. I was actually so sad, but I think it made me sadder that a stranger was noticing it. So I was just so distraught. I couldn't believe what I was hearing from this man that I just met and who I see every morning smoking up by the rooftop of the school, because the school I was in had like smoking zones. And this doctor, I would see smoking cigs every goddamn day. Plus, I was in the band, so I used to play the guitar by the rooftop a lot and just hang out with my band. But anyway, here's this man telling me I'm sad and I look sad. And I was sad, actually. So he said he's going to call my parents and I have to go for mandatory therapy. So I started that Friday. And on Friday, when I was just talking, I was just crying the whole time. Oh, no, actually, I wasn't crying. That's not how it went. When I got into the office, I met this young lady. No, actually, she was really old. And that's when I questioned. I was like, I don't know if you're going to get me. But as soon as I started speaking, she was so kind. She's actually so quiet listening. She'd ask all the right questions and they'd strike a nerve. And I'd just be sat there so hurt, but I wasn't crying. And then at the end of everything, she just said, Nyambura, I don't think you love yourself. And I just cried so much because in my 21 years, how old was I actually? I was 19. In my 19 years, I'd not been told ever that I was supposed to love myself. It was such a foreign concept for me to, you know, have an idea of loving yourself. Other people would always mention you love yourself in a bad light, like in a light to mean that, you are selfish and that you only think about yourself. But that's not what she meant. She meant, Nyambura, you actually don't love yourself. You don't do things you love. You don't fight for things you want. You don't exist for yourself. You're being controlled by everything else but you. You're not in control. And I think that's what's making you so sad. And I just broke down. That evening when I went home, I bought like a bunch of skincare routine products. And then I went home and I was just watching my shows, doing whatever the fuck I wanted. Like, from that moment on, I was just like, you know, listen, you're gonna sit there. And I think it's time for me to give the love that I so desperately give to others to myself. Because if you know me, you know I'm a lover, I'm a giver. My love languages to others is gifting, words of affirmation, physical touch. It's everything. Like, I'm such a giver, and I know that at times you might meet bad people who might exploit what you have, but that's also another lesson that I learned. I'm gonna get to that in a minute, but first I got to my room that day, because I remember I used to live with my friends at the time, so I had roommates, and I just started journaling. I watched a bunch of YouTube videos on how to start loving yourself, and that's when I started my self-love journey. And throughout, it's been 4 years since I started, and I would say that's the best thing I ever did, because it's built my confidence. No one can tear me down, regardless of how I look or how I talk or how I decide to live. No one can bring me down apart from myself. I've put that power back to me. I've brought that power back to me. Because in the past, other people could put me down and I'd actually genuinely be depressed for a while. But now when someone else fucks me over, I'm just like, you know, you're sad and you're going through this and that. And you're so pathetic for not seeing what I'm trying to give you. But that's okay. And you've made a choice and I don't have to suffer with you. I don't have to suffer for it. And I can just walk away and deal with my ones and twos. And you can listen or you can do whatever the fuck you want. And I'll be on my way out, you know? I'll be on my way out. So that's also the whole cutting people off thing for my own sake. I guard myself so jealously. And my high school teacher would always tell our parents, you know, your daughter is your strength. She represents your strength. She represents your hard work. She represents your intelligence. And you must guard her jealously. And that's why I got it. Like, I must guard myself jealously. I have to choose myself aggressively. I have to exist in a from a perspective of someone that actually has an end goal of making me happy, existing for me, you know. That's one of the lessons that I've learned in my 24 years of life. My other lesson, that I've learned is I should not let people who have come to my life and have messed up what I give to determine how I moving forward, like after they've left and everything. So this could be a boyfriend or a friend, you know, someone who comes and tells you, oh my gosh, you're so clingy. And then from then on, you just start working on your clinginess. I mean, honey, being clingy isn't so bad if you're doing it with the right person. Like, if I'm being clingy to my mother and my mother has been clingy with me, that's a very beautiful relationship right there. My best friend is clingy and I'm very clingy. So we're both so clingy together with each other. And I feel like that's a mutually acceptable way to live. Honestly, I don't have a problem with that. You just need to find your tribe. That's all. So what you give moving forward after you've been hurt should not change depending on what those who couldn't handle you have decided to tell you about it. Just because they said you're this and that doesn't mean you should change that about it, about yourself. And it can be really hard because some of those things can be so heartbreaking and heart-shattering because you're hearing it from someone you genuinely cared about and someone you loved. But you're losing yourself in the process, and that's one of the things that you ought never to do. Don't ever conform to the opinions of someone who's giving you a reason why they're leaving you or giving you a reason why you should not be yourself. Being yourself should be the reason why they were with you in the first place. So what did they expect? Weren't you presenting yourself from the very beginning? How come it's suddenly a problem? And that's my issue. Because if you didn't move into my life coming to try and correct me with love, and then suddenly when you leave, you want to come and use my traits against me, I'm not going to take that. You take your bullshit and pack up and leave. What the fuck is that? What do you mean? I'm not about to listen to you. Why would I listen to you? That just shows you are tolerating me this whole time. And you know what? This is the whole country, we're a democratic country. In fact, the government, the government here is democratic, you know? The people here have a democratic right. So you coming and acting like you were being, what's that word when you have a leader who's forcing themselves on, who's forcing their laws on you? A dictatorship. Acting like I was dictating how our relationship would be in like forceful ways, that's a bit insane, and I will not be taking that. Sorry, sir. Sorry, ma'am. That's none of my business. You go and find people that you actually fuck with and leave me the fuck alone. That's my second lesson. What's my third lesson? I feel like I'm running out and I'm only gonna say five because I'm not about to talk for an hour here. So my third lesson is to give people chances, because I expect to be given chances. And I know, however hard it might be, I have to recruit. And which brings me back to self-love. I have to recruit lovingly for myself. I have to think about how this person impacts my life, how this person is acting around me, and how their presence makes me feel. And how I act, especially around them, and how I feel, what they bring out of me. If they bring the worst out of me, obviously that's not someone I should be giving a second chance. But if they've made an honest mistake and they're apologizing, I should have grace to forgive, because that's how I get to experience love in its purest form. If this person has never had a malicious bone in their body and they're apologizing for a mistake that they've made honestly, I think that's someone I'm willing to forgive, because, to be honest, that's the greatest love. To have someone who knows me inside and out, and because we're human, we make mistakes. And that's not to mean that I don't make mistakes. I make mistakes as well. And sometimes I expect to be forgiven. And when I can't be forgiven, I take it gracefully, because I understand maybe I'm harming this person's emotional well-being, and maybe I'm being a bad influence. But just having the grace to forgive and to take back. And I'm going to mention this especially with like African parents. I didn't grow up seeing a lot of African children being loved on. People around me, my classmates and everything, we all had like very strict mothers, very strict fathers. We couldn't do this or the other. And the ones who had like loving, more nurturing mothers were seen as to have mothers who didn't care like that. Like if their mom would let them go to village market, for example, by themselves and just have like an ice cream date with their friends, that would be seen as so crazy to me. I would think that was so crazy as a child. And now that I'm older, once I've communicated, because I'm an adult now and I've gone through so much. I've been through therapy. I've seen a psychiatrist. I've talked to so many psychological doctors, and they just want me to represent myself and to live for myself. So when I go and tell my mom or my dad, of course within logic, because if your mom beats the shit out of you to a pulp and like all of that, so you can't really tell them your feelings, that's a bit of a problem. And I don't see how you'd forgive that. And if you ever did and they keep abusing it, it's okay to walk away. It's fine. But I'm saying on the flip side, that your parent is actually very sorry and they've grown up and they've seen that you now have some kind of autonomy over what you decide to do with yourself. And they've decided to change and probably show you a little more love. I've learned that it's okay to forgive and forget. And I would actually say that I don't think I have any parental traumas at the moment, because I worked through my issues when I was a bit younger, I would say around 2020. Before 2020, I had a really bad relationship with my parents. But after that, we sat down, we talked it out, we expressed our feelings, our desires. My mom told me, you know, I always saw that you had a gift, that you had a talent, that you were meant to be great and you had a light within you. And as your mother, I always wanted to protect it, and forgive me for protecting it in ways that made you think that I did not love you. Oh my God, that's gonna make me cry. Oh, that's gonna make me so sad, bro. Anyway, my mom said that, and I was just so taken aback, because as an adult, you don't see African parents apologize often. And because I also didn't have siblings. Oh my God. This was not supposed to be a sad episode. Anyway, but because I didn't see many adults grow up and ask forgiveness from their children, this was also new to me. And I was just like, oh my God, I love you actually. And if that's what it was, then I'm so sorry for misjudging it also. But you also did a really bad job at showing it. And if you're ready and willing to change moving forward, I would really appreciate that. And she was like, yeah, of course. And we hugged it out, and we therapied. We therapied it out. And my dad as well, he was just so sweet and nurturing and caring. And he was just like, you know, Nyambura, we love you. And honestly, we never meant to hurt you. We didn't mean to do this or the other or the other, because there were a couple of things I had a serious problem with. But I just told them they should stop treating me like I will never grow up and I'll never have a choice to walk out forever on them. That sounded so scary. My mom, my parents are genuinely scared that that would happen. And I feel like that's a fear African parents have. But they don't really think about it until you get to like fourth year or you get your first job. And then they're like, oh shit, well, like this bitch is leaving. Oh my God. Then they notice like you never call them, you never visit them, you don't buy them things, you are rich and you're just spending all that money on the family or friends that you've chosen, of people who actually genuinely love you. And I understand if that's what happens. You know, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. And I'm just saying that I'm glad that it got to work out for me. And I'm all this honestly depended on how much grace I had to extend out to them, and if I was willing to start again and start over and redefine our previous relationship together. And so far so good. My parents are very expressive. Like, my mom has probably told me she loves me in the last 3 years more than she's ever told me in my whole life. Actually, my mom had never told me she loved me, like, growing up, and now she just says it all the time. And that makes me so happy, because I don't even have siblings. So who did you expect me to be loving on permanently? You know, unconditionally. Who did you want me to be loving unconditionally? Anyway, the other lesson that I've learned is that I shouldn't be afraid to start over. Because let me tell you, life can fucking throw you under the bus. Literally, if there's a bus of life, the bus driver is the devil, they're going to throw you under the bus. And you should never be afraid to come back up. Like, and the same thing Jesus said. I apologize if you're not Christian, but there's a story in the Bible about a mob. It sounds like they were dancing or some shit. A mob that pulled up on a shorty who had been, she had seven husbands or something, and she was a sex worker, and they all wanted to stone her. And Jesus went and said, listen, let he who has no sin cast the first stone. And that sentence carries so much weight, just thinking about how he who has no sin, because first of all, I would challenge you to literally point one person who you think has never done shit in his life or her life, who's never fucked up at least five times. In fact, if you've only fucked up 4 times, you can throw the fucking stone. But if you've fucked up more than 5 times, which is what everyone has done for sure, I'm 1,000% sure everyone has fucked up before, and you've gone through an experience where you felt like you were never going to come out of that. And I've personally gone through a public situation like that, where everyone knew and everyone knows about some shit about me, and that, like, oh, okay, shit, she's done for. Like, she's never coming out of that. Nothing good is ever happening for that shorty ever again. But I knew my truth. And I still hold and stand by my truth. And I know what I said, and I know how I said it, and I don't take back anything I ever did, because it was true, first of all. And so me leaving by my truth and acting right and walking in a way that I feel was justified, has given me the strength to feel like I can come back up. Because down for me wasn't even down for them. Like, it wasn't down because you can't hide the truth. Like, you can't shame the truth. You know, you can't shame the truth. It's like, you can't, how can I say this? You know, when you know the truth for real, it's like someone comes and says, you're so bald. And you know deep down you have alopecia and you've never had a thread of hair in your life. And you're like, okay, cool. But I've never had hair. And they're like, no, you're just bald. Okay, but that's your opinion. But the truth is that I have alopecia and I've never had a thread of hair in my life. You get what I mean? So the person with alopecia already has their truth, already has their facts. So it's really hard to even bring them down because they're standing on the truth. If there was any kind of proof, if we all stood someplace and there was a bigger screen and facts were coming down, because facts is true, truth is fact. It will be really hard to shame them because they already knew they had alopecia. So you trying to be like, yeah, you're bald. No, that's just your opinion. And at this point, it's not needed and it's not required and you're doing too much. You know, in my opinion, you're just doing too much. Anyway, that was just a point that I was putting across. Thinking that people would bring you down because of something that you know your truth on and you know your facts about is really stupid for them, first of all. Like, you just look at them and you just, as I told you in a previous episode, just look at them and be like, you're so dumb, actually. Like, degrade them in your head. Like, bottom of the barrel human beings, them. Like, just look at them and be like, shit, if that was the scum of the earth, you'd be right there. You'd be right there holding it together on the floor, no? Like, you'd just be right there brown as fuck on the white tile, huh? Because you know your truth and you know your facts, you know? And you stand by that and you pull up on yourself and you say, hey, I'm not about to be torn down by a lie. I'm not about to be torn down by a fucking lie. Kwani, what the fuck is all of this? I'm a human being and I'm alive. I'm breathing. This is not a simulation. It's not a joke. It's not a game at your game over and then start a new game. No, it's not a character that I can just pull out of and just wear out another character. Nah, this is real life and you need to take it as that. So thinking that people will bring lies on your name and then they're gonna tear you down forever, that's some fucking bullshit. Don't even let it get to you 1 minute. And of course, you're a human being. You can cry. You can be a bit depressed. You can sleep and just, but remember, they've not done anything to you, because important people will ask the important questions and important organizations will ask for proof and you have it because it's the truth. So once again, you cannot bury a seed. You cannot bury a seed, honey. And you can't hide a lamp under the bed. The light will always show and the seed will always grow. Buzz, whoa, buzz. Buzz, I think I should end this episode here. This is so golden already and I think I'm done. But I'll be back. I'll try my best. Especially now that I'm about to go back to filming my... Oh, I'm about to make this podcast a visual podcast. I'm already so excited for that. So just keep in touch with my Instagram @_nyambuzi and I'll be letting you know what's going on with my life. And just keep up with me. And I'm going to show you what all the fun and all the good stuff of life is that, you know, I live in pursuit of good things only, and sometimes bad things befall me, but that's just life, you know. It's just how life is, because I'm not the only one. In fact, the president has been to the ICJ. He's been accused of crimes against humanity, which sounds so crazy, but he's a president. And now even the previous president has been too. And even when you just think about great people, bad things have befallen them, and I'm a great person. You're a great person too, honey, you know? So don't ever think for 1 second that you don't deserve love from yourself especially. let the whole world be against you, but never be the one who's against yourself. Okay, honey? Okay. Have a beautiful rest of your week, baby. Bye.